Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Great. Thanks, guys. You can take your seats if you like. Everyone just feeling a little bit drowsy, just maybe give yourself a bit of a tap, maybe tap the person's face next to you, not too hard. Just everyone, deep breath in and out. Okay, now everyone just put your hands up in the air, both hands up in the air, and breathe in and out. Now, I'm conducting a study into kind of the fragrances produced during worship. So did you guys notice a difference between the first and the second breath? No? I do. I wonder why that is. Anyway, hi, everyone. So today, this is a real weird one. I was praying about, Lord, what do you want me to share today? And I kept getting this message. It's a message that I shared before. I shared at Faith Camp. I was like, I don't like doing that. I never want to, like, do something because it's like something you've done, and everything that's happened with like me and conversations and stuff this week has just been like confirming it. So I kind of said, "Oh, all right then, Lord. Excuse me a sec. This is really difficult to undo." I work out. So. Pastor Clive's been speaking to us recently about the kind of the people we are, our identity, our culture, all those kind of things. And I'm sure you've got it all memorized by now. What is it? We are a house of God, family of believers, and Pastor Clive and Phil know it. Good job. So kind of Pastor Clive was underlining some of the things that make us the family of believers. And it was, we are hospitable, we are generous, we are encouraging, we are accepted. That means we belong, we are significant, and we are healthy. And I know he's going to be sharing about these different things kind of a bit more detail, but God just spoke to me about this one word, significance. And when Pastor Clive was talking about it, he said our significance is related to our worth. And if you think about it, how do you know you're significant to God? When you know how much you're worth to him. And in the same way, how do you know what you're worth when you realize how significant you are? They're kind of nearly synonymous, but not quite. So how are we going to talk about this? We're going back to the very beginning. So I'm going to need a helper. I'm going to need someone big and strong with good, you know, good manly sized chest. So... Is Raoul here? Raoul, where are you? You still in the hall somewhere? Raoul, come down if you're here, Raoul. Yes, there you are. Come on down. Said Joe Urquhart, you'll probably help too. Come on down. Nice to see you, Joe. Hi. Now, Raoul, come on. What are you doing? Well, we've not got all day. Now, since we're going back to the beginning, you might think either one of these strapping young gentlemen might be playing the part of maybe Adam or something like that. No, if you guys could just sit down here, I need someone to inflate the tree of life. Tree of knowledge, sorry. So make sure you squeeze the valve really tight because it's quite difficult to inflate. So if you take one after another, then you probably, hopefully, won't pass out. Okay, good stuff. So if you get under that. Now, we all know the story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He started out on day one. Does anyone know? Basic Sunday school, this stuff. So we've got light and dark. Then day two, we've got the sky and the sea. Day three, we've got land and vegetation and seas. Day four, we've got day and night. Day five, we've got the fish in all the sea. And then day six, oh, I'm glad I got that right. Day six, we've got animals and man. That's the one. Now, I need someone especially strapping, not like these wimps over here, to be, Daniel, you're already walking this way. It must be God. Daniel, do you want to come and help me? Come on, Daniel, come on. Let's give him a clap. Daniel, can you just show off some of your rippling muscles for us? Yes. Yes, looking good, looking good. Okay, so we all know the story. God made Adam. But every day along the way, he spoke, didn't he? He spoke light and it became light. And he spoke the heaven, you know, the skies and the sea. He spoke everything. And he said afterwards, it is good. But with Adam, he did something a little bit different. Now, Daniel's probably not going to like it if I breathe into his nostrils. So I won't do that. But Dan, if you could breathe into your nostrils for me. There we go. Lovely. Whiffy. So he said, everything, I speak it into being. But with man, he made him, he fashioned him together out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed. It was an intimate thing. It was really close. And he said, very good. So significant, Daniel. You're very significant. Or should I say Adam? Now, we know the next bit. He put he put Adam to sleep, so we're just going to sleep, 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 sleep. Good. Then he cut open his rib. From his rib, he made, and now I'm going to need another person. How are you guys doing there? Good. It's good practice for a trumpet playing, hey? So let's have an Eve. Who wants to be Eve? Ben, you're missing out a couple of vital things necessary to be Eve. Sarah Thomas, lovely. Come on down, Sarah Thomas. Well volunteered. Come on, Sarah. Come on. Up here, up here. I have an interesting question, actually. Let's have hands up. Did Adam have a belly button? Hands up if you think he did. Hands up if you don't think he did. Hands up if you have no idea and you're just not really sure. Hands up if you're too apathetic to put your hand up for everything else. Only in England would there be a majority on apathetic. Did he? I don't know. Probably not, because he wasn't born from a womb. He was made, so probably not. Interesting. So from his rib, God made Eve. Looking good, Eve. Now, another Christian question. Do men have one less ribs than women? Hands up if you think yes. Hands up if you think no. Hands up if you're too apathetic to put your hand up for the other ones. Once again, majority rule. Okay. Probably not. If I cut my leg off, would my children have one leg? No, they'd still have two. So basic genetics there. Men do have the same number of ribs as women. Eve, can you just come up here? Lovely. So then God woke up Adam. Wait. Okay, wait. He's really out of it. There we go. Better. You awake? Wake, Adam. A little bit of sleep under your eyes there. Okay. And then he saw Eve, and he said the first words out of his mouth, of course, were, "Whoa, man," and hence woman was born. Can you give us a whoa, man?
Whoa, man.
There you go, whoa, man. Sarah, people are going to be saying that to you all the time now, and you're going to blame me forever. Now, there are some fundamental differences between Adam and Eve. And I like the way that Megan Urquhart's book put it. She brought it into J27 one day. She'd been reading it the night before with Jane. And she said, "I've been reading all about the creation of the world." I just flicked through. I thought, oh, this is really good. I decided to read a bit about Adam and Eve. And it said their differences was Adam had dangly bits and Eve had bobbly bits. So Megan and Jane taught me something there, so I didn't know before. And the man and his wife... This is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So could you guys act that out for us? Perfect. Well done. Great. So kind of like children, you know, they're just naked and ashamed. I remember being at a friend's house, and their three-year-old son came out. I don't need to go into it. The next bit in the story, we have the snake. Now, for the purpose of illustration, I will be the serpent, okay? Any similarities, purely coincidental. Now, there was a fruit on the tree. Now, another quick question. Who knows what the fruit was on the tree? Hands up, hands up, hands up. If it was an apple, put your hands up. It was an apple. If you don't think it was an apple, put your hands up. If you think it was a kumquat, if you're too apathetic, there's always a few. No, it wasn't an apple, but just for the sake of this illustration, I have an apple here. Lovely. You can have that. I also practiced that. So, he came and he said, what was the word that God said to Adam and Eve? What was it? Well, to Adam, in fact. What was it, Adam? Exactly. You can eat from any tree in the whole of the garden. How's the tree coming along, by the way? Because that tree's looking pretty good. No, I don't need it anymore. No, keep going, keep going. We'll probably fit it in somewhere. So he said, you can eat from any tree, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple, it was just a fruit. It could have, I don't even know what it looked like. But then the serpent came and he said, this is the first thing the enemy always tries to throw at us when God's spoken to us. He says, "Did God really say?" First, what does he do? He gets us to doubt God's word. Did God really say? We think, oh, I don't know. Next, what does he get us to do? He gets us to deny God's word. No, God didn't really say that, did he? Shake your head. Like you're following me, like you know what I'm talking about. Great. Next, what does he do? He gets us to disobey God's word. And you can take a bite if you like. It's clean, I washed it. No, go on. It's tasty. Yeah, big one. Yum. Look at all that knowledge coming into you. Oh, by the way, you're surely going to die. Can I have a bit as well? So, it says, and the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. Could you act that out for us, please? Fine. Actually, okay, Daniel, that's enough. Perfect. What's that at the back of the hall there? We should, thanks, Daniel. That's great. You can pretend you've got clothes on again. Wonderful. Oh, children and animals. I'm glad there are no cameras here. You did not see that. You did not see that. Okay, great. So that, Daniel, that was really good acting. I think there's definitely a career in that for you. Can you imagine if you'd never noticed, suddenly you notice you were naked? You'd be like, what are those things? And you'd be like, they're called legs. I've got some too. And you'd be like, oh, what are these things like cushions built in? These are great, actually. You know, it'd be a very, very strange experience, I'm sure. So they suddenly realized they were naked. Now, what do we have to notice here? They were naked all along. But suddenly, they realized it. So, verse 8 says, oh, not quite yet. There's something we're missing first. They made something. What did they make? Do you remember? Yes, very good, Sarah. You've been paying attention. They made clothes out of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. So Adam, in fact, happened to be the first man to ever invent salad dressing. I did steal that one. It's not mine, so you can't groan at me for that one. So they made themselves clothes out of fig leaves, and then they went and hid in the bushes. So you just hide behind that amp there. Yeah, that's it, just behind there. Crouch down. When they heard God walking in the garden. And he says, it's great hiding, Sarah. I'm never going to see you behind that mic stand. Where's she gone? Wow. So when you play that game with babies where you're like, peekaboo, and then you hide, they just sat there like, I can still see you. Anyway, tangent. Sarah, stop distracting me. So they hid, and God said, who told you you were naked? So they had been naked all along. Thanks, guys. In fact, you can just come and sit over here if you like. Just on their front, yeah, you can just chill out for a bit. He said, who told you naked? They've been naked all along, and there was nothing wrong with being naked. They were fine. Adam and God were walking in the garden together, conversing. Adam was naked, and God wasn't like, oh, this is awkward. You know, it was fine. It was fine. But what changed? Their perception of themselves, the way they saw themselves, was what changed. So, one of the words that Pastor Clyde was talking about, like we said, was significance and connected to worth. It's our identity as who we are believers. Guys, on to the second part. Good job. Give them a little round of applause. It's pretty good. Joe, definitely fantastic supervisory role there. And so these words are significant and worth. So what's the opposite of that? Insignificant and worthless or unworthy. And that's how the enemy wants to try and steal our identity, who we are, that we're significant and we are worth something to God. And how is he trying to steal it? With shame. Now, what is shame? The dictionary defines shame as the painful feeling you get when you know you've done something dishonorable, improper, or ridiculous. I've done that many, many times. Many, many times. You probably saw one just a little bit earlier when I asked somebody to act something out. So a little improper and ridiculous. But what do we do often when we're ashamed? What we should do, as we know, is give it to Jesus. And, you know, if we're feeling shame, we can give it to him and he replaces all that stuff with boldness and courage and great stuff and complete freedom from shame. But what do we often do is we make fig leaves and we cover ourselves up. And in fact, it's kind of like this. What the enemy does, he comes along and he comes with a word that's against what God says. Pastor Gary, could I borrow you? Let's give Pastor Gary a round of applause. So he takes a word that's against what God says, something that's a lie, not true, and he comes up and he just bashes us over the head with it very gently. And he says, you're not worthy. You're not significant. And for the start, it's just this little tiny thing. And so we kind of wave it away and we brush it away. But we just start going, you're not worthy. He goes again and again. You're not worthy. You're not significant. Again and again. Until what he manages to do is he trains us. And then he goes, all right, here, I'll just take this. You're not worthy. You're not significant. You're not worthy. You're not one, are you? And then he starts to get us to repeat of ourselves. And so then the enemy goes, and he runs away. And meanwhile, we're still there, just bashing ourselves over the head. I'm not worthy, I'm not significant, I'm not worthy. And you know, it's just this little tiny thing, if I could just borrow that. But what he makes it look like, guys, you weren't quite in time for the tree of life, a tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm afraid. Perfect, Ralph, thank you very much. That's perfect. Oh no, you can just re-blow it up again if it goes down, that's fine. So, yeah, you're a bit behind for the prop of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what the enemy makes it feel like, guys, this is a bit rubbish, actually. If that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there's no way Adam and Eve would have eaten from that one, would they? You're like, oh, that's rubbish. It's all right. Thank you, guys. Can we give them a clap? They did great. Hey. So what the enemy makes it feel like is, you're not worthy. You're not significant. And he makes it, it's inflated. It's this big thing. It's actually full of hot air and it's rubbish. But then he gives it to us and says, carry on there. There you go. Keep it. You're not worthy. You're not significant. You are rubbish. Thank you very much, Pastor Gary. Wonderful. Very well done. Very well done. Let's just leave that up there. Oh, dear. So we try and cover ourselves up from this feeling of like, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm going to keep hitting ourselves. We try and protect ourselves, just like Adam and Eve did, by covering ourselves with fig leaves. Now, I don't mean literal fig leaves. I don't mean like if you feel ridiculous and, you know, as you've done something dishonorable, like maybe you've made a mistake at work, don't turn up the next day wearing nothing but fig leaves. It won't go down unless it's casual Friday. But otherwise, your boss probably won't appreciate it. But metaphorical fig leaves. So we've got something in our heart that's shameful and we dress our heart up with fig leaves to try and hide it away. Now, those things, they could be, I mean, it could be anything. It could be makeup. It could be what we wear. It could be the way we wear our hair. It could be the way we act, the way we speak. It could be anything. Now, those things, they could just be outside. They could just be just makeup or just clothes or just hair. Or it could be that there's something in our heart we're trying to hide with our fig leaves. And in fact, you guys, you can go sit down if you like, because Sarah's looking at me like, please, let me go. Now, I want to give you a story. When you all probably remember what I was like when I had dreadlocks. And for anyone who doesn't, I actually brought them with me. Now, when I had these cut off, I kind of meant to sell them because actually they're worth a fair bit because they're in good nick. Well, they were when I cut them off about 6 months ago. And but I accidentally kind of left them in my cupboard and forgot about them. And I kind of didn't want to do anything with them because they're kind of gross. So, Phil, do you want to hold that one for me? Anyone else? No. You're right, I'll just leave this here. So these used to be on my head, which is really disgusting. I mean, it's, oh, kind of looks like a giant tarantula, doesn't it? I'm just going to leave those there, actually. They're kind of itchy. But when they were on my head, they were fine. They weren't disgusting. It was just my hair. And now it's kind of like, ugh. It's kind of like if someone came over to your house and you were cooking and they were just kind of sat on the table, just, you know, clicking their fingernails on the table. Not gross. If someone comes around for a meal, they cut their fingernails, leave them on the table. Really disgusting. It's kind of like that. I can't quite work it out. Same with many bodily fluids, in fact, and other appendages and what have you. So, moving swiftly on, when I grew my hair and got dreadlocks, I prayed about it for months first because I said to the Lord, Lord, I know this is going to change people's perception of me. So I would rather be an effective communicator of your gospel than have cool hair. Because if this is going to get in the way of communicating people, I don't want it. And I felt God say to me really clearly, Colin, because you do not have a hairy heart, I don't care what you have on your head. And you know, that's really stuck with me. And I think it's actually really profound. I said, Lord, you have a way with words. Hard to believe. No, he did write a whole book. And, because you haven't got a hairy heart, you can have what you want on your head. And I figure, this is it. You know, if you've got a kid who's asking, you know, can I get a piercing? Well, it's okay to get your ears pierced, surely, isn't it? What about my eyebrow? What about my lip? What about, you know, it goes, where's the line of it's not okay? When it's your heart that's being pierced, Does that make sense? So it's okay. God, man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at our heart. If our heart is pierced, then it's not okay. If our heart is tattooed, it's not okay. I know people that have got piercings and they've got a great relationship with God. I used to have some piercings, I had my ears stretched and eyebrow piercing stuff. And God said to me real clearly, Colin, take those out. And I was like, that's not God. I know people with piercings and no, take them out. And it was like the heavens shut. And it was a real scary time. And I took them all out and it was just like, grace. And it was easy again. And God said to me, Colin, you were piercing your heart with those. And so they were getting in the way of your relationship with me. And so this is what I'm talking about. Not like makeup is bad, not what I'm saying at all. But if in our hearts we're ashamed of the way we look, then is what we're doing getting our makeup brushes and powders and whatever else, those things that men don't understand, and kind of powdering your heart? I mean, I'm not trying, this is not a silly thing, you know, but do you get what I mean? Putting lipstick on your heart, covering your heart with something like a metaphorical fig leaf because they're ashamed of, I'm not good enough, I don't look good enough. What about maybe, what about ashamed of some sin? There's something in our heart that's not right, that we maybe feel really struggling with, can't get over. But we, instead of taking it to the cross, we try and cover it, cover ourselves with these fig leaves and say, no, I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm great. You know, I turn up, you know, I'm going to just carry on keeping going with things as normal. There's nothing wrong because I'm trying to protect, trying to hide my shame. Trying to hide my heart. And so it means that we're isolated because we can't let anyone in because we're keeping them out. We're hiding behind this bush. I mean, it could be that, you know, we're ashamed of this fear of rejection. So we turn up to all the prayer meetings and we pray all the prayers, not because it's really something that we want to be doing, but because we're scared, if I don't, people won't see me as holy enough. Or if I don't do such and such, maybe I'll get kicked out of the church. If I let people know that this sin that's going on in my heart, maybe, you know, people will say like, you? Oh, get out of here. You disgust me. And we're scared and there's shame there. And so we try and hide it under the fig leaves. Do you understand what I mean? So this is not what God wants. This is the last one, sorry. Well, I was praying about this. Like, Lord, what maybe some of the things that we're hiding with fig leaves is maybe you're not a Christian yet. You maybe come to church a couple of times, maybe it's your first time here, and you're thinking, no, I don't know this is really, really for me. I'm okay. And there's just this fear of what if God saw me naked? I don't mean physically naked, but my life just lay down in front of him for the whole world to see. Well, in fact, it's just for him to see. And nothing hidden from him. I'm ashamed of what he might see. So I'm okay. I don't need Jesus. You know, that's fine for Christians. It's fine for you guys, but it's not for me. It's the fig leaves hiding your heart. And God's just saying that today, I want to take the fig leaves off. And I'm going to ask the band to come up and just help us out in a minute. I can get rid of this. It's a bit distracting. So when I was asking God, like, well, how do we go about this? What do you want us to do? And he just started to speak to me about this. And he said, well, first thing, maybe just identify it. If there's fig leaves, if there's some shame, let's just take a minute just to say, yeah, that's me. I mean, if there's not, great. If there's not, maybe think of somebody else you know that needs to be freed from shame and start praying for them. Just take a minute. It's not a, you know, a real searching thing. It's just, oh, yeah, God will just bring to our minds, like, yeah, there's something that Jesus wants me to have a bit more freedom in at the moment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, anyone who trusts in Jesus, he will never be ashamed. So Jesus wants to remove those fig leaves tonight. Now, Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, God's word is always alive and will work actively in everyone who believes in it. His word is sharper than any blade. It separates spirit and soul. It shows us what is of God and what's of ourself. It demonstrates what is merely external on the outside and what is in our hearts. It even shows us whether our thoughts and our heart attitudes are right or not. So there's nothing that we can hide from God. He sees us naked anyway. We might try and put on the fig leaves and try and hide, but he sees us anyway. Verse 13 says, there is nothing in the whole of creation that is hidden from God. He sees and knows everything that takes place. Yes, everything is exposed before his eyes. We are naked before him. So we might try and hide ourselves with these fig leaves, but the fact is, we're naked before him anyway. And it's just like Adam and Eve, that they were naked the whole time, but what changed? The way they saw themselves. That some of us, the way we see ourselves has changed. From naked before God and confident and not embarrassed and just free to be who we are made to be. You know, Psalm 139, that I knit you together in your mother's womb. I saw you when you were just like a moriller, just a lump of cells. You know, there's nothing that's really, you know, pretty about that. I saw you knitting you together, making you fearfully, awesomely, wonderfully holy. Putting you together. He saw us like that. So we've always been like that to him. We've always been naked to him. So is there a lot of point trying to hide it away? No, because all it ends up doing is just hiding our eyes from seeing the fullness of God. I think when Adam and Eve were hidden behind the bushes, they were just kind of catching glimpses of him. Maybe his just feet as he walked by. Maybe just his back as he just moved past. Whereas before, they were exactly the same, but they walked with him. They saw him in his fullness. And actually, us putting fig leaves on, all it does is hides us from the truth. And so, 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, yet as soon as someone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed and he can understand the truth. Now the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God, and where his Spirit is present, people have been set free. And that's what God wants us to do, is to take off those fig leaves, anything that's been hiding shame from him, doing what he wants to do in us. Not so that he can see more of us, because he sees us anyway, but so that we can be free to see all of him. Now Jesus is really good at this. In fact, he's a bit of an expert at this. He takes something that's old and he makes it completely new creation. He takes the old shame and he just completely transforms it into new. So we can trust him with it. And we let him take away the fig leaves, we can see the truth. We can see and know, I don't have to paint my heart. I don't have to make up my heart. I don't have to dress up my heart. I don't have to act something with my heart. But I'm accepted as I am. I have significance to God as I am, and I'm worth something to him as I am because of who he's made me to be. It's who he's designed me to be. God designed Adam and Eve naked. That's how he intended them to be. So there's this strange balance, isn't there, with our relationship with God, that on the one side we've got being humble and broken before him, and on the other side we've got boldness and confidence to come before the throne. And it's this strange kind of juxtaposition. How do we balance the two between being humble and broken and being bold and confident? And we could easily go like, Jesus, please take off the fig leaves. You know, there could be a repentance thing and just, you know, this kind of humble, broken thing before the throne. But what I felt God was saying was completely opposite. He said, the whole taking the fig leaves thing off isn't a, like, it doesn't have to be a, you know, like, please don't let it hurt too much. You know, like, it's not like a wound. It's just taking off some leaves. And actually, we can be really free and bold with it and thank him for it, as it means taking off the fig leaves. It means we're stepping into freedom. Actually means we're stepping into more, not into like a, oh, this might hurt. It means we're stepping into, look, I'm naked and unashamed. And that's what I want to be before God. But also as a family of believers, I believe it's what God's calling us to be before each other. Is there's no fear of, I don't know, I'm scared of what you're going to think about me. There's no fear of, I might get kicked out of church. There's no fear of loss or rejection or anything like that, because we're all naked and unashamed with one another. Again, not literally naked, because that would be really awkward. So God wants to release confidence right now, to be naked before him and free. Not become naturists. But he wants to release a boldness that says, I'm fed up with hiding in the bushes. God is calling us to be like he intended Adam and Eve to be, naked and unashamed. So I would love for all of us right now to stand up. And if there's one of those things, maybe we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Morning Into Dancing. And we're going to not be like, we're not going to kind of, you know, peel off the fig leaves and be a little bit worried about it. But we're going to dance before him, because if you know, we're free, then we're free to dance, free to sing, all that kind of stuff. So if there's one of those things you think, I really want God to deal with that in me, I'm fed up with the bushes, and the fig leaves. Let's get rid of that. Step out into freedom, something new. Then just do business with God. It just takes 2 seconds. I mean, Jesus has been doing this for centuries. You know, he knows what he's doing. Jesus, take off my shame. Take off the fig leaves. I want to be naked, open before you, Lord. I don't want to try and hide anything from you. Jesus, thank you that I can walk with you in the freshness of the day. Just walking with you, conversing like Adam, like you intended me to be. So if that's you who need to do business with God, just start talking to him. And if there's not, maybe think of a friend who needs to be set free from shame. Pray for them. And let's just worship.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.